and peace and love from our home to yours. Hey, that was pretty good. Welcome to Worship with Pine Street Church at Home Edition on this January 24, 2021. This is actually the last Sunday that we'll be coming to you in this format. As of next Sunday, January 31, we will have a whole new worship format. And if you joined us for Christmas Eve, you know what that looks like. That's definitely a preview of things to come starting next Sunday, January 31. So we will send you all of the necessary information that you need to join us for our newly enhanced Sunday digital worship experience that we will premiere on YouTube next Sunday morning, January 31, at 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. So if you're listening from other places, know that's 10 a.m. Boulder time, which may be different in your area. I'm so grateful for all of the ways that we are evolving as a church and connecting with new folks. If you are connecting with us in this way and you are not normally part of our in-person gatherings pre-pandemic, I invite you to write me at andrew@pinestreetchurch.net and let me know who you are. I would love to get to know you and to find ways that you can connect more deeply with the life of Pine Street Church here in Boulder. There's so much coming up for our church on Tuesday, by the way, Tuesday evening, January 26th at 7 p.m. Look at all of the details in today's Pine Street Post. Dr. Bill Mackin is leading a 6 to 8 week course on the Psalms. So be looking out for that and join on Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. It is a registration-based course, small group. So if you would write him, all the details are in today's Pine Street Post. Also next Sunday, there's so much kind of beginning again, so to speak, next Sunday, January 31, but at 11:30 a.m., it will be our annual meeting. We will celebrate all of the ministry accomplishments of the last 12 months and look ahead to the next 12 months for the life of our church, including a 2021 financial plan proposal that you will vote on. Also, all of our slate of nominees for our standing committee chairs will be voted on next Sunday, 11:30 a.m. via Zoom. So check out all those details. We will send out the Zoom link next Sunday morning, January 31, for that. Well, there are always other ways to connect in the life of our church. Tuesday morning, 9 a.m., our Men's Coffee Fellowship. On Thursdays at 1:30 p.m., our Oasis Women's Study Group. And they are about to start a new book study. Again, check that out in today's Pine Street Post for all of those details. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for our life together. And we continue to be in this church scattered mode when we can't be the church gathered. And I'm grateful for all of the ways that you're connecting and being the church in this unusual time. Much love and gratitude to all of you. I do want to say this. I did send out an email to our church membership. But we want to be thinking today about the family of Jack Fowler. Jack died on Wednesday, January 13, in the company of his beloved Barb. And so, Barb Fowler, we're thinking about you and Tom and Dan and John and Chris during these days of remembrance and grief. But Jack, you know, what a legacy that Jack lived and has left all of us. And we think about the Fowler family today as we gather in worship. Let us begin today with this prayer of invocation as we take time to explore the story of Jonah today, by the way, a redemption story. And so we're going to be talking about hook, line, and sinker. About ways that Jonah really was converted and redeemed in ways that we might not always think about with that story of Jonah. We always get caught up with the big fish, right? with the Jonah and the whale story, but today we'll be exploring a little bit more deeply what that story means. And so deep thanks for the minor prophet Jonah, and we'll be exploring that story today. Let us begin with this prayer. Gracious God, we gather again one more time, gathered around your word, gathered in silence, gathered in scripture, and gathered with singing. And so we give you great thanks for Pine Street Church, for this beautiful spiritual community, and all of the ways that you are calling us and expanding our vision of what it means to embrace everyone, to inspire life, to create more. May this hour of worship be honorable to you, and may the words and the meditations of our minds and hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. Okay, so have you heard the one about the big fish? Turns out this fish was not so easily hooked. He passes up the lure of God's call once, so God casts the call a second time. And of course, I'm not talking about a fish, actually. I'm talking about Jonah. Jonah's not a fish, but if you ask God, he was just as hard to catch. In some ways. And as we meet today's Hebrew Testament story, we wade into Jonah's story, right, as he is washing up on the shore of the Mediterranean. We find him soaking wet, smelling like the sea. Seaweed is still tangled up in his hair. He looks a wreck. And he has just come through the biggest storm of his life. Now, only a few days before, Jonah was on a boat bound for the coast of Spain. And the first time the word of the Lord came to Jonah, God told him to go east, but Jonah went west, as far as he knew he could go. God gives Jonah a one-way trip to Nineveh, but Jonah trades in his ticket for a one-way trip to Tarshish. And wouldn't you? I mean, who wants to go to Baghdad when you can, you know, go to Madrid instead? And that's about the way it was. Nineveh was the capital city, also the biggest city, of the Assyrian Empire, now known as Iraq, by the way. And the Ninevites were like a composite picture of the worst dictators you can imagine. A composite picture of the worst dictators, of neo-Nazis, of those Capitol rioters from a couple of weeks ago, and the most extreme conspiracy theorists, all drawn into one. They were bitter enemies of Israel, who had many times conquered the people of Israel and Judah. They terrorized Jewish cities. They murdered Jewish people. Their legacy of violence was well known. And the last thing Jonah wants to be is a Billy Graham to the bad guys. I mean, but by the time he was praying in the fish's belly, Jonah knew he had been hooked. All the while Jonah is trying to get away, God is reeling him in, and little did he know that he was going to be rerouted back east to get to where God wanted him to go in the first place. Preachers like me often say life is preparation for preaching. And if that's true, you might think Jonah would have had a whale of a sermon. Hello, pun. He would have had a whale of a sermon illustration for the Ninevites about, you know, gratitude for God's calling, good news about mercy and forgiveness, big fishes and second chances. Or you might even think of it as, you know, in some ways an act of diplomacy. Or even what we witnessed last Wednesday with the presidential inauguration, when we heard the sparkling wisdom of Amanda Gorman. Oh my gosh, like the second coming of Maya Angelou, don't you know? This brilliant 22-year-old former National Youth Poet Laureate who delivered a stunning rendition of the poem, "The Hill We Climb," that she wrote for the presidential inauguration. She actually told CBS News this past week, she said she researched the speeches of Abraham Lincoln and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. as she began writing, but it was the riots at the Capitol. Again, on the Feast of the Epiphany, that made a closing impact for her. She said, "And then on the Wednesday in which we saw the insurrection at the Capitol, that was the day that the poem really came to life and I really put pedal to the metal," Amanda Gorman said. "Words that keep ringing the bell inside of me too is what today's silent meditation says, and believe it or not, it connects with today's Jonah story. You might catch a little line of that that does connect with the Jonah story. When day comes, we ask ourselves, where can we find light in this never-ending shade? The loss we carry, a sea we must wade. We have braved the belly of the beast. We've learned that quiet isn't always peace, and the norms and notions of what just is isn't always justice. And yet the dawn is ours before we knew it. Somehow we do it. Somehow we've weathered and witnessed a nation that isn't broken, but simply unfinished. We are striving to forge a union with purpose, to compose a country committed to all cultures, colors, characters, and conditions of man. And so we lift our gazes not to what stands between us, but what stands before us. Let the globe, if nothing else, say this is true, that even as we grieved, we grew, that even as we hurt, we hoped, that even as we tired, we tried, that we'll forever be tied together victorious, not because we will never again know defeat, but because we will never again sow division." Miss Gorman offered more than a poem or a sermon. It was a transcendent moment that we braved the belly of the beast, as did Jonah. Oh man. I mean, here too, Jonah offers more of a sermon than a speech. He goes overboard, throwing out his line, so to speak, into the ocean of their evil empire. Jonah's one-liner is an 8-word sermon. "In 40 days, the city will be overthrown." in 40 days the city will be overthrown. Now the story does not say if and when God told Jonah to say such a thing. There's no mention of God in this 8-word message, no repent or else, no thus says the Lord, no demand to renounce their gods and worship Yahweh. And so if it's just Jonah's opinion, it could very well mean this is what he hopes God will do to Nineveh. He basically tells them they have a little more than 6 weeks to live and they will sure enough get what's coming to them. And sure enough, what happens next is a preacher's dream. He doesn't even get to finish his sermon before people are flooding the streets in repentance. All sorts of people convert from the top down, young and old, powerful and powerless, presidents and prime ministers, senators and congresspeople, patriots and insurgents, kings and nobles, men and women, cattle and sheep. They wear sackcloth and sit in ashes. This is an extraordinary story. By all accounts, Jonah is a big city preaching success, and the whole city converted. Cable news shows were calling. Book deals were waiting to be signed. There was only one problem. They were the enemy. They were the others. And Jonah is raving mad about their repentance. He's seething at his own success. How can this be? Well, here you go. Nineveh repented. God relented, meaning God changed God's mind. And Jonah resented. Nineveh repented. God relented. Jonah resented. How's that for a 3-point sermon alliteration? And if Jonah had his own way, God would have wiped out the Ninevites. There would have been nothing left of them. And to Jonah, God let them off the hook. They repented. God relented. And what was Jonah to do now? Well, he might have thought God made him look bad in front of all those people, or even worse, God might have proved him to be wrong. Yikes. If Jonah ever wanted to be right about something, it had to be this, but his airtight opinion of the Ninevites was not God's final word on their fate. And then Jonah sees red, his muscles tense, his hands get clammy, his stomach's upset. Anger gets the best of Jonah. And what do you think must have been worse, the odor of the fish's belly or the odor of Jonah's attitude about people he thought were beyond redemption, outside the circle of God's love, his own piety and anger and resentment that drove his desire to be a big fish in a small pond? Now, you might have to think back about some of this if you're a parent or grandparent, but if you've ever stood in a grocery store checkout line with, let's just say, a second grader, then you have some idea of what Jonah's pity party must have been like. I mean, you know, the child in the grocery store is screaming for you to buy Hershey bars and Coke when you know good and well that kale chips and V8 juice is really what they need. God knows that kale chips and V8 juice, and I'm sure there are other examples, but they're better for us than Hershey bars, spiritually speaking. It's much easier to stew in our own sins, anger, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness. These all tend to fester on the inside even when we don't name them and notice them or see them. But bitterness and unforgiveness do more harm to us than to the people we hold grudges against, or to the people who have hurt us deeply, or even to the ways we hurt ourselves. And you wonder, who or what groups of people do we not want God's grace to get to? Who makes us the maddest? Who do we love the least? Who do we despise the most? It's a motley crew, I'm sure. And I'm sure you have people in your life that fit those categories. And we certainly have people nationally and internationally that represent that for us, right? But if we don't know them by the way they look, then we know them by the labels that we make them wear. Republicans, Democrats, conservatives, liberals, people who know everything, people who question everything, liars, cheaters, fundamentalists, ex-husbands, ex-wives, and the list goes on. Georgia preacher Barbara Brown Taylor says it well. She writes, "If God is willing to stay with me in spite of my meanness, my weakness, my stubborn self-righteousness, then who am I to hold those same things against somebody else? Better I should confess my own sins than keep track of yours. Only it is hard to stay focused on my shortcomings. I would rather stay focused on yours, especially when they are hurtful to me. Staying angry with you is how I protect myself from you. Refusing to forgive you is not only how I punish you, it is also how I keep you from getting close enough to hurt me again. And 9 times out of 10, it works. Only there is a serious side effect. It is called bitterness. And isn't that just the way we can be, sizing up others to decide if they are worthy or unworthy of God's love, feeling threatened by people who think differently from us, who associate with different groups than we do, trying to figure out who is for us or against us, thinking those who disagree with us must be wrong, preferring to be a big fish in a small pond. And we do these things to protect ourselves. We play it safe so that we can feel safe. And there's just one catch. God, at least in today's story, according to Jonah, God does not always play by the same rules that we do. God does not always wage war with people who are opposing us. God is not a soldier in the army of allies or enemies. God refuses to be an agent of torture or violence. It violates human dignity and it breaks all the rules of God's love, taking up sides of us and them, we and they, has more to do with human labels than it has to do with who God is. And that's really hard to parse out sometimes when we're just reacting to everything. And like a loving parent, God is about the business of giving us and them what we need and not always what we and they deserve. And that's the thing about Jonah's story, because it's not just a fish tale. It's a story about redemption, not just the Ninevites' redemption, but Jonah's redemption and our redemption. And our redemption lies not in denying the
you know, smelly emotions and attitudes that sabotage our relationships and put safety nets around God's love. Our redemption is found when we reflect about the value and the meaning of the things that give us adrenaline, you know, in terms of anger and resentments and the emotional backwater of what we're about. And so I would just say, maybe ask you today, is there someone in your life you find hard to catch? You know, we're talking about Jonah, right? But somebody in your own life who pushes your buttons, someone who triggers you in one way or another, who upsets you, or maybe they intrigue you, or maybe someone you'd like to be closer to. Is there someone you know who is very different from you that maybe you could reach out to, have some vulnerability about that? I mean, maybe it's a grandchild that you want to get to know better and understand and, you know, figure out what's really going on in their world these days. Or what's keeping you from picking up the phone or sending a text. Or, you know, if you're close to your family, sitting on the porch with them and talking with them, having an honest conversation. Or, you know, maybe you've tried to be both a friend and a mother or a father to your child, but you realize right now they kind of really need a parent. Or perhaps you're curious about another faith tradition, or you want to investigate Christianity on a deeper level to understand why you believe what you believe. Maybe you want to better understand your own beliefs or the beliefs of another faith tradition, those practices, and you want to find ways to connect with yourself or to dialogue with someone else. Or maybe there was someone who was an anchor for you, someone you really trusted in a time of crisis, and it's been a while since you've seen that person. You need to tell them maybe how grateful you are for helping you through a time when you thought, you know, your marriage was over, or the time when you finally knew it was over, or a time when a relationship was at a breaking point, or a time when someone you loved slipped away in one way or another. Well, when you find yourself in stormy waters, whether it's emotionally stormy waters or you're going through a hard time in your life, when you feel like you're drowning, you've lost all control, here's the truth. Here's the truth that God wants you to believe and know and feel deep in your bones. Hook, line, and sinker. God is on your side. And how can you be on God's side? The thing is, God is not out to destroy you or shame you or make you feel awful about your life or who you are. God is out to redeem you. God is out to redeem people in our lives we think are beyond redemption too. That's the whole Jonah story point. God will not leave any of us dead in the water. And when we have the courage to jump out of the pond and into the ocean, if you will, the whole world can open up to us. A new day, a new dawning, hope, a chance to begin again. And when you think about it, the grand adventure of the Christian life is a little bit like sailing, to pick up on the Jonah theme. You put the sails up and you let the wind of the Spirit carry you. And you might not always get good weather in one way or another, but you can relax into God's Spirit, knowing there is another captain in the wheelhouse. And over time, it will take you farther than you ever knew you could go. It can take you to places you might not wanted to go. Maybe you didn't want to go to places you've been in your own life. Maybe God's taking you to a place in your own life that feels uncomfortable, that you disagree about. But it's God taking you to where God most needs you to go. Scenic detours and more. Amen. Thank you, my friends, for joining us for Pine Street Church Worship at Home Edition today. So grateful that you have and spent part of your Sunday with us. Feel free to share this video with your friends and family. As I always say, anybody who needs a word of hope and healing and comfort and hopefully some inspiration and motivation today, please share this. And also be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, Pine Street Church, also Hyphenated Life, our new creative project. We're going to start season two in early February, so be looking for those new releases on this digital evangelism project, if you will, and also our off-Broadway preschool. So be sure, if you are on social media channels, to follow us, like what we are releasing, and share it also if you're so led with friends and family. Also, if you are looking to still be part of our New Horizons 2021 financial plan, if you're looking to make a financial plan for the year, we are looking to fully fund our mission and ministry for the year of 2021. We'll be voting on that
budget next Sunday, January 31. But you can go to pinestreetchurch.net/giving and make a pledge, or you could also make a financial gift today if you are so led to do that as well. If you are interested in becoming a member of Pine Street Church, what I affectionately call the Pinehead Society, I would love to talk to you about what meaningful membership means with Pine Street Church. And it doesn't matter where you are. If you're in Denver, Boulder, that's great. If you live elsewhere, I would still love to talk with you about how you can be part of this ministry. So write me at andrew@pinestreetchurch.net. Would love to talk with you about that. As you walk out into your day and into your week, it is so important for you to remember who you are. You are sons and daughters of God. You are friends and disciples of Christ Jesus. And the love and the peace and the joy and the justice and the beauty and the generosity of God are forever at loose in this world through you. Go today and live like it is true. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that